Turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of John, the 17th chapter. John chapter 17 in your Schofield Bible, page 1139. We'll begin with the 14th verse, and we'll read through the 19th verse. The 19th verse being the text verse, you might be prepared to turn the page if yours is a Schofield Bible. John chapter 17, verses 14 through 19, reading the verses responsively today. So shall we all stand, please, for the reading of God's Word. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And let's pray. Father, you're so good to give us this place. So very good to give us a preacher. So wonderfully good to give us thy word. And how we pray that thou wouldst meld the three into the message of the day, that we who hear might be strengthened and blessed and helped. And so bless those who listen. Help us all to listen, to be careful and responsible about the way we hear thy word. And of course, help and bless with power our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.
Several years ago, our black friends said, "We demand our freedom." And now for these years, Martin Luther King Jr. and others have been leading in the campaign for the freedom of black people. This opened the barn door, so to speak, and others decided that they too wanted their freedoms. It has become utterly ridiculous to the extent to which this has been taken. The Chicano people said, and I'm not saying that this is the ridiculous part, but they said, "We want our freedoms also." And the ladies have said, "We too want to be free." It has gone even to the extent of children claiming their freedom and their right. And I guess soon it'll be puppy dogs that'll be fighting for their freedom. There is a so-called church in Chicago that sprinkles your puppet dog and blesses it, any other animal you might have, your puppet dog or your cat, your husband, any animal that's around the house. And I'm saying that everybody says we have a right to be free. Now this morning, I'm going to talk to you on this subject. What is real freedom? I contend the black people were not fighting for freedom. They think they were, but they were not. I contend the Chicano people have not been fighting for freedom. They think they were and think they are, but they're not. I contend that the ERA movement is not a fight for freedom. They think it is, but I contend that it is not. Now, what does the Bible say real freedom is? The Bible says, "For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified." Now listen carefully. Before I pray, that little word sanctify means to set apart, to be set apart. If I sanctified you today, I would take you and set you apart by yourself, unattached. Jesus said, "For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified." Let me paraphrase it. "For their sake, I free myself, that they also might be freed, that they, when they're freed, might see that others are freed, that they, when they're freed, might see that others are freed." What is freedom? If you'll give me your attention, everybody in this house, if you will give me your undivided attention, I'm going to talk to you tonight or today here. You got me there now, Brother John. He almost said tonight, and Brother Bullard always thinks Sunday morning is Sunday night. And it's true, Brother John, because he sleeps during the sermon and it's always dark. But anyway, I want to talk to you about this matter. What is real freedom? I'm going to startle you. Real freedom is, for example, is not being unattached. Real freedom is not being disassociated. Real freedom is not being on your own to do what you want to do. Now, what is real freedom? Father, bless the message to our hearts, and please, please, may I have the attention of every mind in this house today. In Jesus' name, amen. There is a purpose for my life. There is a purpose that God made for my life. There is something I was meant to be and something I was meant to do. Now listen to me. The fellow beside you is napping. Punch him in the ribs. I want to help you. This can change your life this morning. There's something that I was meant to be. And there's something that I was meant to do. So, I set out to do that something. That thing that God made me to do. That thing that God made me to be. That place that God made me to go. You see, there's some place in the world that God made me to be. And there's something that God made me to do in that place. And there was some place that God intended for me to go and do while I was there. Now, I set out to do this one thing that God made me to do. Other things, something, however, came and prevented me from doing this thing. Now, in your case, it may be that liquor prevented you from doing the thing that God made you to do and being the thing that God made you to be and going where God made you to go. Now maybe liquor. Now, that thing bound you and did not give you freedom to do what God made you to do and to be what God made you to be. It bound you. It may have been narcotics. It may have been slothfulness. It may have been the government. It may have been illicit sex. But something grabs us and says, no, sir, I'll conquer you, I'll enslave you, and that something often keeps us from doing the thing. Now listen, every single person in this house today has a plan in heaven that God has made for you. And God intends for you to do that thing that God made you to do, and God intends for you to be that thing that God meant for you to be, and God intends for you to go where God intended for you to go. And I don't care what else you do. If you don't do that, you're a failure in life. You might be an All-American football player, but if you've not done the thing that God made you to do, then you're a failure in life. You might be a multimillionaire, but if you've not done the thing that God made you to do, then you're a failure in life. I'm not successful today because I'm pastor of this great church. I'm successful because I'm in the will of God. And you're just as successful if God made you to play that organ, or God made you to play that piano, or God made you to work with a serviceman, or God made you to work with a college. I'm not concerned about what it is. I'm concerned about you finding what it is and doing the thing that God made you do. I've said so often, you're no uh-oh. You're no uh-oh. God didn't look down one day and say, hey, I wonder who that is. I've got to keep him busy or he'll get in trouble. God didn't do that. God had a job he needed somebody to do, and God, Taylor, made you to do that job. And as I've said so often here, there is a job that you can do that nobody else can do. There is a job that God has made you to do that I cannot do, and that Dr. Evans cannot do, and that none of these staff men can do, and that nobody in the world could do. Now listen to me. It is your only chance for success in life to find out what that thing is that God made you to be and to do, and do it. Now, there's somebody that's after you to keep you from doing it. I'm not going to call his name because I don't like to be critical and call names. but he wears a red uniform. And he has horns. And he has a forked tail. And he smells like smoke. Now, he is out to keep you from doing the thing that God has meant for you and made you to do. Now, he'll try to capture you with this digression or this departure from his will or this habit or this sin. Now, the devil's not trying to get you drunk. The devil's trying to keep you from doing what God made you to do. He doesn't care if you're drunk or not. He'd as soon you be sober as long as it keeps you from doing that thing that God made you do. See, liquor's only a tool. Narcotics, they're only a tool. Laziness, only a tool. Illicit sex, only a tool. Rock music's only a tool. Disco's only a tool. God's not wanting you to go to the disco on Saturday night. God's concerned, the devil's not. The devil's concerned about keeping you where you ought to be on Saturday night. And it's just as soon you be home in bed not doing that which you're supposed to do has to be in the disco. You see, these are two. And the devil says, that fella is headed down to do the thing that God made him to do. I've got to capture him. Go out, little imp of drink, and capture him. Go out, little imp of dope, and capture him. Go out, little imp of laziness, and capture him. Go out, little imp of disco, and capture him. Go out, little imp of liberalism, and capture him. You see, that's what the devil's trying to do. He wants you to live and die and never do that thing that God intended for you to do when God made you. That's what it's all about. Now, follow me. Here I am. I'm a traveler of life. I'm a creature of God. I'm trying to do what God made me to do. And then the devil sends something to bind me. Something that keeps me from doing what I ought to do and being what I ought to be and going where I ought to go. And I say, let me go. I must be free. Let me go. I must be free. Let me go, liquor. I must be free. Free to what? Free to do nothing? No. Free to do what God made me to do. Freedom is not being unattached. Freedom is being attached to God's perfect will for your life. Let me illustrate. Here's a piece of iron in the ground. That piece of iron is below the surface of the earth. And there it lays. It is bound by the earth. So, what happens? Here's a piece of iron that is bound by soil. So, a miner comes, or a man comes, and he digs that piece of iron. Listen now. He digs that piece of iron from the earth. Now, that piece of iron is free from the earth. So the man just sets that piece of iron on the earth. It's free from the earth. Now, is that piece of iron free? No, it's not free. It is detached. But freedom is not detachment. Freedom is detachment from that which keeps you from being attached to your purpose in life. Now, that little piece of iron, that little piece of iron is not free. There it lays on the ground. It has been digged from the ground. It is no longer bound by the earth. It is unattached, but it's not free. Because that piece of iron was meant to be a part of a great machine. And that piece of iron is a slave, though it's unattached. It will not be free until it is bound to that machine that it was made for. That's not freedom. That's unattachment. And detachment is not freedom. Freedom is when that piece of iron is freed from the hinderer and then bound in the machine, and that little piece of iron will never be free until it was made or is doing what it was meant to do. And that is by attachment. Suppose that microphone were down in the ground somewhere, bound by earth. And somebody goes and digs that microphone out of the ground and lets it lay there on the ground. Thank God, no longer is it bound by the earth. It's free. No, it's not free. Nothing is free unless it's doing that thing that God made it to do. Freedom is when you have been set free from all the fetters that prevent you from doing that one single thing God made you to do when you were born. That's what freedom is. The chains of winter bind a piece of ice. It cannot break loose. It's bound by the chains of winter. And soon the warmth of spring comes and the sunshine shines upon that piece of ice that is bound by the chains of winter. It's melted and freed from its icy bondage. Yet it is not free. Freedom is not detachment. Suppose that piece of ice that's been bound by winter's chains is set free by the summer, the springtime sun. And then that little piece of ice becomes a little stagnant pool somewhere. There's nothing free about a stagnant pool. It's been bound from winter's icy blast. But that ice was supposed to be freed from winter in order that it might join some great river and empty someday into the ocean. That's what it's for. And unless that water does that, it's not free. There's nothing so bound as a little stagnant pool of water. Let me tell you something, folks. I don't care if you're black or if you're brown or yellow or white or maroon or chartreuse. I don't care what you are. I don't care if you're male or female or one of these peculiar kind of people running around here. I don't care what you are. You listen to me. Freedom is not being set free and detached. Freedom is pursuing that thing that God made you to do. And then something comes along and dabs you and says, get away from God's purpose for your life. And then you're enslaved. Freedom is not just getting away from that which enslaves you. Freedom is getting to that for which God put you on this earth. Here's a little piece of some coal down in the mines of Kentucky. That little coal is held captive by the earth. And some miner goes out and he goes down, or maybe it's strip mining, and he takes that coal and he chisels or whittles away at that coal that is a slave to a mine. And that coal is stripped away. Here's a piece of coal that's stripped from its bondage. And the miner walks off and leaves it on the ground. Now, that piece of coal is unattached. Nobody tells that piece of coal what to do. That piece of coal is untouched. But that piece of coal is not free. But you take that piece of coal and you put it inside a giant furnace somewhere in a big building, and you let that piece of coal burn out for the comfort of somebody else, and that coal is doing the thing for which it was made to do. That, my friends, is freedom. And that's why Jesus said, for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified. He's saying, for their sakes, I set myself apart. I free myself from the yoke of liquor. I free myself from the yoke of dope. I free myself from the yoke of illicit sex. I do it. Why? In order that I may sanctify somebody else. You're not free because you can do what you want to do. You're not free because you're not tied to something. You're not free because you're attached. This whole country is silly. This whole concept of freedom is silly. God takes the Supreme Court justices and set them on the front row here and let me teach you what freedom is. God bring the Congress and the President and the legislators and the mayors and the city council of this nation and put them in this building and let me teach you what freedom is. Freedom is not saying, let me do my thing. Freedom is like saying, let me be free so I can do God's thing for my life. That's what freedom is. That's what freedom is. Hundreds of you folks this morning in this room, you think you're free, but you're not. You're just detached. You're just a screw loose. You're not free. You're detached. You're that little piece of steel lying on the ground. Not held bondage, but detached. But you are not in the machine. God made you to be a part of. You're that little stagnant pond. You have fought for your rights. Let me be free from this block of ice. Let me be free from winter bondage. And you have been freed, and you're no longer a part of the ice. You've been free, but you're a stagnant pond, and no stagnant pond is free. It'll be free when it gets to the river and on to the ocean. You're like that little piece of coal. You're like that microphone. There it is. Let me ask you a question. Watch me carefully. Here is a microphone. Doc, put it on the ground there. On the floor there. Okay, is it free? But it's detached. Now that microphone isn't free. Why? Because, talk on it, Doc. Is this on? No, and nobody's on that's detached. Didn't free you from people. God freed you to people. To help people. To serve people. To win people. To bless people. To feed people. To clothe people. To encourage people. To cheer people. God made. But you take that same, you take that same microphone that is detached, and you place that microphone, turn this on please, you place that microphone on the place that God made it for, and this is what happened. But it is now free to do what it was meant to do. And that microphone wasn't meant for that. It was meant for that. So the ERA gals are not fighting for their freedom. They're fighting from their freedom. They're saying, let us be detached. Every single one of their husbands ought to give them that great grace. We want to be detached. They're not asking for freedom. They're asking for detachment. But detachment is not freedom. Freedom is knowing what God made me to do. Going where God made me to go. Being what God made me to be. And freedom is not allowing any hindrance that would pull me from God's purpose for my life to do so. So, the ERA crowd is fighting for release from freedom is what they're fighting for. They don't know it. I say, let me be free. Let me be free, cries the bound one. Let me be free, cries the liberated one. Let me be free to do that which God has called me to do. God had a job to be done. God made me to do that job. And the enemy captures me and prevents my doing that job and being what God made me to be and going where God made me to go. And then I must be free. I must be free. And the power of the Spirit of God comes and frees me from the captive. Here you are. I recommend this morning you be this. This is what the black folks said they wanted. This is what they needed. This is what the Chicanos say they want. This is what they need. This is what the women say they want. This is what they need. This is what the children said they wanted. This is what they need. They need to be freed from that which would keep this from being attached to that. But when this is not attached to that, this is not free. It is simply a detached, useful, or useless microphone. Freedom is saying, let me go, enemy of the will of God, that I may do God's will. Let me go, enemy of the plan of God, that I may do God's plan. And the only free people in this world are those people who have been freed from every enemy that would prevent them from doing the will of God. And did you know Follow me carefully. Did you know even the freedom the ERA crowd is seeking is bondage? They're seeking to be bound from God's purpose for their lives. And their freedom becomes their master. And they're enslaved in what they call freedom. The sun was setting on Eastern Village. The auctioneer plies his trade. A bitter slave girl is pulled forward. The auctioneer looks at the eastern crowd as the shadows are lengthening in the evening time. And with a voice that's hoarse from a day of use, the auctioneer says, "Ladies and gentlemen, I have a little black girl here, a little slave girl. She's strong, she's healthy, she's a hard worker. Pull a bid for this slave girl." Little girl pulls back. "I won't be a slave," she said. "I won't do it." Somebody says, "I'll bid $100. "I won't go with you. I won't serve you." Another man says, "I'll bid $2. First man says, "Make it $3. Somebody else says, "I'll bid $4. The first man says, "I'll bid $5. Somebody else says, "Make it $6. The first man says, "I'll bid $7. Every time this first man makes his bid, she looks at him and curse words exit from her mouth. And she says, "I won't serve you. I won't serve you. I won't serve you." And then finally, somebody bids $8 and he bids $9. And somebody bids $10 and he bids $11. And somebody bids $12 and he bids $13. And finally, the auctioneer says, "Sold to the highest bidder." And this man who was the highest bidder, who came to buy this slave, walks toward her, holds out his arm. And she says, "I won't serve you. I won't serve you. I won't go with you." And the kind man says, "You don't understand, little lady. I didn't buy you to take you home with me. I saw something in your eye that made me feel you're a fine person. I kept on bidding because these men who were bidding for you were bidding to put you in slavery and bondage. But," said he, "I kept on bidding because I wanted you to be free. Go free, little lady. I bought you. You go free." Tears streamed down those little black cheeks. Those black hands began to tremble. And she says, "Do I understand it correctly that I'm free?" "That's right. You set me free." "That's right." She says, "Oh, sir." As she falls to her face and looks up at his face, she says, "Oh, sir, then I'll be your slave forever." That's freedom. That's freedom. The Lord Jesus comes to those bound by sin and says, "I have a purpose for your life. I want to serve." And the Lord Jesus said, "Let me set you free. Free from sin, free from bondage, free from the law, free from the devil, free from the world, free from liquor, free from dope, free illicit sex. Let me set you free." And then I am set free, like that microphone here. And then Jesus says, "I didn't buy you on the cross to make you a slave. I bought you to set you free." And I fall at the nail-scarred hands of Christ and hug the old rugged cross and look up and say, "Then, Jesus, I'll be your slave forever." That, ladies and gentlemen, is real freedom. Heavenly Father, bless you.